to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Andrea and Ron DeFeo, Dr. Robert Peskin, and Dr. Raymond Ellis. We've talked in these podcasts about the importance of the care and feeding of infrastructure through regular maintenance and rehabilitation. But how do we know the needs of a particular infrastructure element? When we use it, are we really sure it is both capable and safe? When I drive across a bridge, I don't give much thought to its structural condition, unless perhaps it's a spectacular bridge long and high across the water. But someone must assess that condition and in the process assure our safety. That assurance process is bridge inspection. To learn about bridge inspection, we're talking with Dr. Srinivas Alampally, who's the director of the Structures Evaluation Services Bureau of the New York State Department of Transportation. Good morning, Srinivas.
Good morning, Joe.
Let's start from the beginning. Can you tell us something about the role of the Structures Evaluation Services Bureau at New York State DOT?
Well, Structures Evaluation Services Bureau is a part of Office of Structures. Office of Structures is involved with design, evaluation, construction support, as well as review of consultant work done by others for the department. Specifically, my bureau deals with bridge inspection and evaluation of structures. We are involved with inspecting mostly bridges, large culverts, sign structures, and other auxiliary structures. And we also evaluate the capacity and make sure that they have the capacity required to carry the loads put on them. And then we also come up with the maintenance recommendations. So the data is also used for planning our resources well for the future.
I understand that working under a federal mandate for bridge inspection, what's the history of that?
As you know, bridge inspection program always has been there from the beginning of the structures, but it has been not a priority many times several decades ago. Current bridge inspection program probably can be attributed to the failure of US 35 Silver Creek Bridge in Ohio River between West Virginia and Ohio. This IBOS suspension bridge collapsed during the evening of December 15, 1967 because of an instantaneous fracture of an I-bar at a pin connection. About 46 people passed away because of this disastrous event. So at the time, President Johnson responded to this tragedy by initiating a task force. The idea of the task force was to determine the cause and collapse of the structure, of course, and then also determine coming up with a procedure to avoid future disasters such as this one. So that resulted in the Federal Highways coming up with a program currently known as National Bridge Inspection Standards. And the thought of this failure was sort of the premises of the current systematic bridge inspection program.
So what is the mandate? How often and how thoroughly do you need to inspect bridges?
Well, according to the federal mandate, all bridges have to be inspected at least once in 2 years in most cases. And there is some room to increase the cycle up to 4 years for some specific cases are met. But in general, most general bridge inspections are done at least once in 2 years. Of course, if the inspection reveals that it needs more inspection because of other conditions, we do inspect them more often. But at the same time, underwater inspection, there are some elements under the water. They are supposed to be inspected at least once in every 60 months.
Well, much more frequently then. You're looking for problems with scour?
Yes. It depends on, you're looking at the condition of the elements once in 60 months. At the same time, you also look at the channel profile and other aspects of it also. Whatever you could inspect without going under the water, you do inspect every 24 months when the bridge inspectors are there.
Is it 60 months?
No, 60 months.
Yeah, so it's every 5 years for underwater inspection. What does this inspection entail? What are the steps your people do?
There are different types of inspection. During the biennial inspection, inspectors actually take a look at almost every element of the bridge and see what condition it is. One of the things I always tell my inspectors and others about the inspection program is most of the inspectors have certain qualifications, and in many cases, they are professional engineers. For example, in New York State, all the team leaders who inspect our bridges have a professional engineer license in civil engineering. So when they look at the bridge, they do look at a global aspect, how the structure is behaving. And also based on the current condition, they also come up with enough data so we can calculate the capacity of the structure and see if it can carry the loads imposed on them until the inspector comes back next time.
Are these hands-on inspections? Are they climbing all over the elements and testing them in some way?
Depends. For some structures, they could be observing from a distance. They're called routine inspections by federal standards. But of course, if inspector notices something or if it has any fracture critical elements, then they do have to do hands-on inspections. Hands-on inspection means you are at a distance where you can see it and touch it, essentially. And that's what a hands-on inspection is. And they're called sometimes in-depth inspections. But all these are to be done at least once in 2 years for all the structures.
You use the term fracture critical. Could you explain to us what that means?
Essentially, fracture critical is mostly associated with steel structures, but it can apply in general to all bridges or all structures. If in a bridge, one of the elements fails, for example, if it is going to cause a partial collapse or full collapse of the structure, then it is called a fracture critical element and the bridge is called fracture critical bridge.
That's really, as I understand it, not so much a factor of the material, but of the design of the bridge.
Yeah, it's essentially if one element fails, it doesn't have any redundancy in the structure. That's one way of saying it. So that's why it's very critical that you make sure that it's in a good shape and it's not going to fail and cause partial or full collapse of the structure.
So when your inspectors are working on a bridge, are they using any particular tools or technologies?
First level of inspection is mostly visual. What we call sometimes refer to is sight, sound and touch. So they'll see it, they can touch it and sound it and look at it. At the same time, they do have certain tools. For example, if there's a section loss, they do have calipers and other measurements where they can take enough data and see how much section loss is there, what the thickness and other aspects of it. And also, at least in New York, most of the inspectors have certain non-destructive testing equipment where they can measure and see if there's a crack at the wells and other areas. They can see if there are any hidden cracks, if they doubt a crack could exist. And beyond that, if the inspector feels that the more work has to be done, then we do further investigate it using other specialty teams.
For example, would you get to the point of using acoustical emissions techniques or ultrasounds or x-rays?
We do ultrasound quite often when as needed basis, but using acoustic emissions and other technologies are only on needed basis. It's almost like you can think as going to doctor every 2 years for our routine examinations for all of us. And then if a doctor essentially takes your blood pressure and few pulse and other aspects of it and then asks you a few questions, you can consider the routine inspection something similar to the examination we all go through once in a year or once in 2 years. And then if a doctor feels he may order other tests, for example, go and take x-rays or other aspects of it or do blood tests and all, say, we can think bridges in the same fashion. You can consider the team leader doing any visual inspections as a first step. And then if we need more, we do them. Again, acoustic emissions and other technologies require quite a bit of expertise. So when we do need them, we do use them on our bridges.
And some of your bridges are designed in such a way that they're dangerous to crawl around. Are your inspectors specially trained? Do they have particular equipment for accessing the tops and the bottoms of bridges?
Yes, they do. That's one aspect of it, you know, you have to be very careful in the sense when you have good inspection to happen, you need to consider those aspects of it at the design phase itself. It has been sort of neglected in the decades ago, but lately we do start looking at the inspection aspects from the when we are designing the bridge to make sure that all the components can be inspected in a fair fashion. That's why we do use under-bridge inspection units called UBIUs, bucket trucks and other aspects to reach the locations they need. We do provide all the support, bridge team leaders and others involved with inspection can reach all the elements. When they cannot, then we need to resort on other methodologies like you mentioned before.
Are drones starting to play a part in bridge inspection these days?
We are starting to look at drones. For example, we just formed a working group in New York State DOT to look into long-term where we can use drones. We have some demonstration projects, not only at New York State DOT, but throughout the country. They are pretty useful, especially for the post-hazard inspections and other aspects of it. Right now, we are still evaluating their capabilities. I do see value maybe 5-6 years down the road where we could use them more effectively in bridge inspection, especially to increase the mobility aspects as well as, for example, improving the safety of our team leaders. It can collect certain data beforehand and see whether the inspector has to actually go up or not. That's where we are starting at this point now.
You talked about the fact that your team leaders are licensed professional engineers, which for our listeners, I think one of the things to remember about that is that they're really certified to work on design at some level, so they understand the mechanisms of the structures. Do they get additional training to work as bridge inspectors?
By federal mandate, all team leaders have to take a comprehensive bridge inspection course. It's a two-week course, and they have to pass the test before they could be bridge inspectors. They also have some bridge inspection experience, of course, some bridge design experience. So they have a good understanding of the structure they're inspecting. At the same time, they are also supposed to have a refresher training once in at least 5 years. Those are federal mandates. At the same time, each state do go beyond many cases depending on how they are managing their bridge inspection program. In New York State, we have an annual bridge inspectors meeting. We bring all the inspection-related personnel, team leaders, as in some of the quality assurance engineers, project managers, both consultants and state personnel to one location, and we go through for 1.5 day all the issues we noticed during the last cycle. We sort of discuss them. At the same time, we also have our quality assurance engineers visiting all these team leaders in the field. So in these field reviews, we also see, is there any areas we need to refresh their knowledge? And based on those observations, we also bring experts from outside to come and give presentations in bridge inspectors meeting. So we have a uniform and consistency across the field. As you know, when you are doing bridge inspections, it's of course, safety is of primary importance. At the same time, we do use this bridge inspection data or the data collected on bridges for managing our bridge program for the future too. For example, what kind of maintenance actions we need to take, which bridges should be rehabilitated or replaced in the near future. So we do sort of plan for the future for next 10, 20 years. So just being conservative is not a good thing. So you do need a uniform and consistent data across the field. So that's what we try to achieve during these bridge inspectors meetings and trainings.
Are you moving in the direction of automation, remote wireless sensing and things like that, maybe to get more data or different data or more timely data?
Only when we need it, but we use on very few bridges where we actually use remote monitoring systems. You have to realize one more thing though, when you have remote monitoring systems, you are again introducing a whole different set of resources and other aspects are required. So you only want to use them only when needed. In my opinion, the best remote monitoring system is the one which at some point we don't have to use it. We do have some structures, like as you mentioned before, with acoustic emissions and other technologies. We do monitor them as needed basis. Again, let's go back to our medical field we are talking about. There's tremendous technology out there in the medical field, but all of us don't have equipment built into us, or we don't have like blood pressure sensors and all those installed on us. Same way, you do need to look at the overall system aspect of it and see where they are really useful before we can use them. For complex bridges like New York Bridge you mentioned before, we do have instrumentation installed on them so that we can make better decisions for the future.
Yeah, I suppose it really makes a difference that if we're talking about a new bridge or an existing bridge. That is, you can build the sensing capability into the design.
Mm-hmm. It all depends. If you have a very complex bridge, for example, it has unique features. You know, you cannot really access or evaluate the structure in a useful fashion like using regular procedures. Then it makes a lot of sense to use remote monitoring systems. But just for the sake of instrumenting, it doesn't really make sense instrumenting about 90% of the bridges there. Also, remember that if you install these sensors on some of these routine bridges, you may not get any deterioration for the next 20, 30 years. So you need to make sure that all this instrumentation and all are working in the future too with the technologies which are ever-changing. So that's why you have to be very prudent. And as I mentioned, we use these technologies only as needed basis.
You talked about places where it may be difficult to inspect. This brings to my mind the bridge bearings, where sometimes you can't see it or you can't tell if the bearing is moving freely or if it's frozen. Is that an issue? And if so, how do you address that?
Joints and bearings have always been an issue. We are working on them. Actually, whenever you can actually eliminate the joints, we try to eliminate them with the new designs. But in most cases, experienced engineer can look at them and can decide how they are working. And some cases, when we are not sure, we do use load testing also to get an idea. For example, if you can see the fixed aspects of the near the bearing, you can see if they are moving or not. So there are ways you can determine actually how well the bearings are working.
And what's the connection between the information that you get and what you learn in bridge inspection and the design process in New York State DOT?
As I mentioned, the good design does consider the inspection, maintenance, and durability aspects of in the long run. That's something we have been starting to incorporate in almost all state DOTs, including New York. So once a new bridge is built, normally it's inspected within 60 to 90 days after it's built, and all the data should be in our system. And once we have this data, the inspection data is routinely used to look at the deterioration cycle of the bridges and also how they are performing compared to the way they were hoped at the design stages. And this data is actually used, as I mentioned before, for making maintenance decisions, as well as rehabilitation and replacement decisions. So it's a complete cycle. So you build the bridge and then use the data from inspection process to manage it effectively throughout its life cycle until it has been rebuilt, maybe hopefully after 75 to 100 years.
When your inspectors go out and look at a bridge then, presumably they're armed with design information and the data from previous inspections so they know what to look for.
Yes, again, as I mentioned, all these inspectors do have experience and education, so they can have a better idea of the structure. At the same time, if there are any unique features, all this information is also kept in the, something called the BIN folders in New York Bridge Inspection folders. So they do look at all the data, they do look at the plans before they go for the inspection. They have access to the previous inspection reports. And most of this data is now electronically available also. We are slowly moving towards complete electronic folders. For example, for almost last 20 years, all our inspection reports are electronically stored and we generate PDF reports for every bridge we have. All the data is online and it's a web-based system and all relevant people have access to it and can look at it almost within a day after the bridge inspection is done.
So your inspectors in the field have access to that information as well?
Yes, it's a web-based system, so you can, as long as you have an internet connection, you can access it. And they can also download the data beforehand to their laptops, which they have to take to the field with them.
When there's a serious bridge failure, presumably not in the state of New York, do you find out about it? Does information, knowledge get back to you quickly so that it gives you ideas about what to look for?
Yes, they do. As you know, most transportation departments have maintenance and operational personnel who are very close. For example, New York, we have 11 regions. So people are spread out throughout the state, so we do get information pretty quickly. At the same time, also when the inspector goes to the bridge, he feels that, you know, there is something which need to be looked at immediately. They are called critical findings. They do generate these reports, and they get to us very quickly, within minutes after inspector realizes it. You know, they can, with the cell phone and other technologies, they can call us. And we do make sure that, you know, other engineers also go and look at it and make informed decisions as soon as possible. And most cases, bridge inspectors can, in extreme cases, can close the bridge if they feel that there is a reason possible failure immediately.
So have you ever seen that happen?
Not yet. So hopefully it never happens. If we are doing our job well, you know, we should have a good idea of these programs. For example, in New York, we call these critical finding structural flags. We have three types of flags. One is called the red flag, PIA. If inspector feels that some action has been taken within 24 hours, he does issue that and he does let program managers and other engineers know. So we take a look at, essentially the bridge owner know. So owner and others can take a look at it and make immediate action. And if he feels that there is time, there are certain items which are critical, and before he comes back a year from now or 2 years from now, then we call them red flags. And essentially, we do have a systematic way of tracking them and looking at them. And so within 6 weeks' time, a decision has to be made on what kind of action should be taken. And if there is any action required, it should be taken also within 6 to 7 weeks after the flag is issued. Then we also have something called yellow flags. which inspector feels that they better be addressed before he comes back long run, and these can become a red flag or in more serious in the future. So we do look at them, and then they also issue something called non-structural condition observations and safety conditions. So there's a whole gamut of system which goes with the inspection program. It's not just writing a report, but they do assess it. And if any actions has been taken immediately, there's a systematic program and steps available within the department to take care of those.
Well, the whole process that you just described gives me some real comfort as I drive across the country and over some of these bridges, big and small. I appreciate your taking the time this morning to tell us about bridge inspection. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Joe. Again, if you are driving on New York bridges, you don't have to worry about it. If the bridge is not safe, we make sure that it's closed.
Thank you very much. I feel very good about that. Thanks, Srinivas.
Thank you, Joe.